أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم
کہ تم کامل نیکی ہرگز نہیں پا سکتے جب تک
لو فار دا سیک آف گاڈ اینڈ واٹ ایور یو اسپینڈ اللہ ڈیفینیٹلی نوز اباؤٹ اٹ ٹو اسپینڈ ان دا وے آف اللہ از ون آف دی فنڈامینٹل commandments of Allah. In the very beginning, in the Holy Quran, Allah has mentioned together with the mention of Salat, the financial sacrifices, as you say, يُقِيمُونَ السَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They observe prayer and whatever we have bestowed on them, they spend out of it. So to gain nearness of Allah, to find His pleasure, whereas it is necessary to worship Him, it is also necessary to spend out of your well-earned income. And this is what purifies your heart. The worldly love is reduced and one tries to gain a pleasure of God. In the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from time to time he did appeal for the national needs, and the companions would take part in it. Men and women sacrifice their wealth. Once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appealed to the ladies that there is some financial need for the faith. And the Hazrat Bilal had spread his sheet. It was full of jewelry of the ladies. The ladies rushed and were hitting each other, tried to throw their jewelry on the sheet. Once Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, brought half of his possessions for sacrifice, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, brought all his possessions to bring, to present to Allah and His Messenger. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, have you left anything home?" He submitted that I have left Allah and His Messenger in my home. Higher than them, there is no possession. There is no property. And Hazrat Umar says that when I brought half of my possessions, I thought that today I will surpass Hazrat Abu Bakr in sacrifice. But listening to Hazrat Abu Bakr's reply, I thought that I can never go surpass Hazrat Abu Bakr in financial sacrifices. When this verse, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا, was revealed, then the Ansari, who was the most rich and the wealthy, and he had orchard of date palm, and the one of the best orchard which was most loved by Talha and was nearest to the mosque of the Prophet, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit it and drink water from the well there. After this verse was revealed, Hazrat Talha Ansari visited the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "I love this orchard more than anything else, so I offer it in the way of Allah and for the sake of Allah, and I hope Allah will accept my this piety and virtue and will add it to my wealth in the hereafter." And these were the examples which the companions had set for the financial sacrifices. And explaining this, Hazrat Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, "The true piety you cannot reach, which takes you to salvation, except that you spend for the cause of Allah the wealth and the things which you love most." Then Promised Messiah says, "One must not love his wealth, as Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ." That you can certainly not reach virtue as long as you do not spend out of what you love. If you compare the situation today with the situation in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then one is sorry to see the situation, because one does not love more than one's life. And in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they offer life. They had wives and children, and one loves one's life more than else, but they were always eager to find an opportunity to sacrifice their life in the cause of Allah. And Promised Messiah says that by spending useless things, one cannot find virtue. The gate to virtue is very narrow. So you must fix in this, in your mind, that by spending useless things and sacrificing useless things, one cannot purify oneself. because as Allah says, as long as you do not spend in the cause of Allah the thing you love most, until then you cannot find the level of beloved of God and true virtue. And if you do not want to follow true virtue, how can you be successful and find your goal? The Holy Promised Messiah says, did the companions reach freely to the place and without spending anything to the great positions he did? So to get the highest title and address which you can give you the true tranquility and bliss can be attained without spending anything. To find the bliss and tranquility and satisfaction of the heart, which is the pleasure of God, was it given to them without spending anything? The true satisfaction and true pleasure of God cannot be gained until you do not pass through some temporary suffering. You cannot deceive Allah, and blessed are those who have no care of suffering to gain Allah's pleasure, because the lasting happiness and the true light can only be received by a believer after suffering in the way of Allah. Therefore, 1400 years after the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the true servant of the Holy Prophet and those who believed in him, they tried to make this revolutionary change in them, and they did bring about a radical change in many of the people, as a result of which those who believed in the Messiah of Muhammad were given the glad tidings to join the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and were given the great glad tidings of radiyallahu anhum, that Allah was pleased with them. So today we Ahmadis who us to do. And and we had taken the pledge on the hand of promised Messiah to carry out this virtuous act. This time, which is the time of Hazrat promised Messiah alayhi salatu was salam, and according to the promises of Allah and his messenger, is a time and a period which will last for good. Through the true caliphate, this will continue till the day of judgment. Therefore, the revolutionary change which was brought about by this teaching, of which I have given you few glimpses from the quotations of the writings of Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, the companions of Hazrat Promised Messiah created great change in them and set highest standards of financial sacrifices. We have to continue those changes in this time, because according to the word of Allah, our protection lies in this, that we should spend the best of our possessions for the cause of Allah, win Allah's pleasure, as Allah says, "Anfiqu khairun li anfusikum," that you should spend your wealth for the cause of Allah. This will be better for your souls. That it is better for your own self. That as a reward, Allah will be pleased with you when you spend your wealth for His cause, and you will be given capacity to do further virtue. After spending for the cause of Allah, whatever you will spend on yourself, on your household, on your children, that will also be blessed. Allah will bless your small income, which will reflect Allah's graces descending on you. In the number of your children, and also in their spiritual training, Allah will put blessings. In short, it is such a thing about which you cannot even imagine, because this is the promise of Allah, as He said, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those who will be saved from the miserliness, they are successful. So if you have to reach success, if you have to win Allah's pleasure, if you have to put blessings in your wealth and in your children, then you should never show miserliness in spending for the cause of Allah. Today, an Ahmadi must do his utmost to save himself from this miserliness, because after believing in promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, an Ahmadi has been given more knowledge and understanding of financial sacrifice, and how Allah makes those who do financial sacrifice successful. It says that if, and as it says in the verse of the Holy Quran, that if you will give the goodly loan to Allah, He will multiply it for you and will create means of forgiveness for you, and Allah is most appreciating and understands everything. Therefore, this financial sacrifice is qarzai hasana, the good loan. Allah does not need money, wealth, but we have been made to understand that how Allah appreciates our effort. This sacrifice, because you have done it for my sake, Allah says, therefore I will return it to you. And Allah is most appreciating. Therefore, He will return manifold multiplied, as Allah, because Allah says that it can be 700-fold, or He can even increase more than that. So what is this good loan? It is a trade, such a trade in which you get nothing but profit. Therefore, anyone who does financial sacrifice, he must not ever think that I have done a favor to God. Allah does not make their means better for them. Allah says that those who do such sacrifices, whatever the gains you will have in the world, I will also forgive your sins. Man is very sinful. In a day, he commits many sins, makes many mistakes, and because of these financial sacrifices, you will be saved from such sinful acts. And you will be turning towards piety. And secondly, whatever mistakes and lacks you have shown, you will also be creating means of their forgiveness by doing this, and be beneficiary of the graces of Allah. How Allah blesses these people, and favors these people. One hadith puts lights on it, which is from Hazrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. He says, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every morning two angels descend. One says, O Allah, let the generous man who spends in your way have more, and also create other people who follow him and follow his example. And the other says that those who is miser in this destroy him and destroy his wealth and possessions. Therefore, those who spend in the cause of Allah, even the angels pray for them. So this arrangement for the angels to pray for them, Allah has done because He appreciates those who do financial sacrifice for His cause. Therefore, these are also methods of Allah to send down His blessings. And this hadith shows that on one side Allah appreciates those who do financial sacrifices and create means of their forgiveness and multiply his possessions and blesses his life. On the other hand, those who are miser and worldly, not only they are Allah deprives them from these blessings, but they also face such situations that whatever they possess, Allah deprives them of it, even in this life. And of course, they are creating means for their destruction and suffering in the hereafter. About the generous man who spends in the way of Allah to enter paradise and the miser man to go near hell, there is a report by Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, generous man is near Allah, near people and near paradise, and is away from hell. On the other hand, the miser man is away, distant from God, distant from people, and distant from paradise, but is near hell. The unlettered, generous man is more beloved to God than the miser man who is learned. The one who talks too much is not as loved by Allah, if he is a miser, than the one who is generous, even if he is not so worshipping, because then Allah enables him to worship more. How Allah blesses them materially and blesses their possessions, and how He returns the goodly loan which man has spent in the cause of Allah. There is a report. You must have heard many times, but people sometimes forget it when the time comes for financial sacrifice. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned this incident that a man was going in a jungle. There were clouds in the air. He heard a voice from the clouds that, O cloud, go and serve the farm of such a pious man. The man followed this cloud as it moved, and he saw that it was raining on a mountainous region, and then the water started flowing, and then the man walked with this flowing water, and he saw that this flowing water entered a orchard. And the owner of the orchard was managing that water and was watering his plants wherever they needed. The man who had heard the voice from the cloud asked the owner of the orchard, what is your name? He gave the same name which he had heard from the clouds. The owner asked him, why do you ask my name? He said, this way I heard a voice coming from the clouds. What is the pious deed, a good act, as a result of which Allah is so favorable to you? And the man said that whatever income I have from my orchard, a third of that I spent in for the cause of Allah. And a third of it I spent for my household, and the other third I spent to maintain this orchard. So as a result of this, his sacrifice of a third of his possessions, see how Allah was sending blessings on him. So Allah says that whosoever sacrifice for my sake, I cannot let them go without reward. How Allah blesses them, you can see, and one is amazed, as I just said. In our present times, Hazrat promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, through promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, his followers have given wisdom and understanding of financial sacrifices, and they have set amazing standards of financial sacrifice. Hazrat promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says in one of his by quoting the example of one of his companions, that similarly our Ahsan Amrohi of our follower of Delhi is assisting in great publications, and the other person had spent everything and come a dervish's life here. And Mia Abdullah Sahib Sinori and Muhammad Ahsan Mahrovi and Muhammad Brahuddin and Maulvi Abdul Karim Sialkoti, Musir Nabi Bakhsh Sahib Butala Gurdaspur, and Munshi Jalaluddin Sahib Jilani, according to their capacity, are serving the cause. And Huzoor has mentioned few other names as well, that I am amazed with the sincerity and love of my followers, that there are some people, Mia Jamaluddin, who has very small income, Imamjin Kashmiri, who are living near my home, three of them who perhaps only earn 3 anas or 4 anas daily, they enthusiastically contribute monthly. I am also amazed from the sincerity of Patwari Sahab, that once he came and gave me 100 rupees, that I wish this is spent in for the cause of Allah. Perhaps he, that poor man, had collected that over many years, but he was excited with the thought of winning Allah's pleasure. So you can say that the regular contribution they did monthly, they set high standards of sacrifices. The 100 rupees today, of those days, is perhaps hundreds and thousands of rupees. And if you count in the way of wheat grain, it becomes more than that. It's nearly 150,000 rupees. So those who spend these days, there are many of those pious people whose children now live in European countries, and they earn well, and they should look at their earning and compare their sacrifices also. A servant who was always ready to do financial sacrifices, promised Messiah says, Hibbi Fillah Munshi Muhammad Arora, the Naqsha Navis Magistrati, is in his love and sincerity and faith, has a living heart and quickly understand the truth. He is very happy to do the service. Day and night he is in this concern that he could do some service to the faith. He has a generous heart and is a exemplary man. I feel that he has a deep attachment with me and love with me, and he is never happier than to service with all his capacities. He is most faithful and is courageous. May Allah give him great reward. Then he talks about Munshi Zafar Ahmad Sahib, that once promised Messiah alayhi salatu was salam had asked some money for some need that his jamaat can perhaps help. He went home and he sold the jewelry of his wife and brought the required amount to the promised Messiah and never told him where he brought it from and how he obtained that money. After a while, when his other companions learnt about it, they were most displeased that why did you not tell us, why did you deprive us of this spiritual reward. So these were their passions which in the promised Messiah had created among his followers. Hazrat Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, they are enough what he has spent already. Once the promised Messiah appealed for something and the doctor sahib had whatever salary he had received, he was a doctor, and he immediately gave that money to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one person was present. He said, why don't you keep something for yourself? You may be needing some money. He said, today the Messiah of Allah has appealed for money for the need of faith and religion. My needs are not more than the needs of religion. Therefore, I am sending everything that I have just obtained. So we find many such incidents that in the time of promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions set high standards of financial sacrifice, and mentioning their sacrifice, Hazrat promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said in answer to a objection that no one else does as much sacrifice as Khalifatul Masih Abbal. And promised Messiah replied that you think only Hakim Nuruddin has this practical example and the others are not right. I don't know what you will reply to this allegation. I know that at least 100,000 people among my followers who have believed sincerely in me. And promised Messiah is talking about his own life. Time in his lifetime, now the numbers have reached phenomenal, and they do good works, and when they listen to my admonition and sermons, they weep so much that their cheeks are wet. I see thousands of people among my followers who have such a great change that whatever people had believed in the time of Moses, I consider them thousands times better. And I see on their faces the light of the faith of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there is exceptional cases where one has lacked something, they are only exceptional cases. He said, Promised Messiah says, I see that the my followers have progressed in sincerity and in faith, that thousands are ready to sacrifice their life. I am ready to, if I would tell them to give up all your possessions and contribute to it, they will be ready to do it. But I always admonish them to progress further and do not tell their virtue, but I am happy in my heart. The pious changes which promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam brought about in his followers, you cannot find other examples. And And those people who did functional sacrifice were born in every time and period. There are some rich and some poor. In the second caliphate, when Khalifatul Masih the second had appealed for some financial need, everyone answered it. All sections of community answered it. One old lady who was had only few hens selling their eggs. She was maintaining herself. She came to Khalifatul Masih II. She said, "I have got one or two hens and I have brought some money selling their eggs." You can see the passion of sacrifice of that old lady, that whatever appeal was made by the living caliph, he did not tolerate that she should be left behind. Certainly because of her passion, her little amount which she was contributing as a result of selling a few eggs, in the sight of Allah they had more importance than millions of rupees. And such incidents do take place in every time. Today there are such ladies who set high standards of financial sacrifice. One lady sent all her jewelry for various appeals from the time of Khalifatul Masih IV. Even in my time, she gave the rest of the jewelry after my appeal. Then she received gifts, or she made a new jewelry made, and she also spent that as well in the cause of Allah. Similarly, there are many among men who have given financial sacrifices more than they can afford. So these high standards of financial sacrifice have been set by Allah in among Jamaat Ahmadiyya alone. It's not just that the pride is by some Pakistani or others that we are continuing the level of sacrifices of our forefathers. Rather, in every country of the world, in every nation, there are examples of these sacrifices which are being set. In Africa, even the poor people there today are selling the eggs of their hens or selling the milk of one or two goats. They say, "We don't have any money, but you can take this as a chanda." Then there are some people, well-to-do people among the Africans, who have given high financial sacrifices, and they are continuing to do so. They have bought plots for the mosque, they built the mosque for the community, and they spent a large amount on building the mosque. This year, one lady has got a very beautiful mosque built and presented it to the Jamaat. So this revolutionary change, which was brought about after they believed in Promised Messiah, as Promised Messiah said, that the way Jamaat has progressed in sincerity and virtue, this is also a miracle. Thousands of people are devoted heart and soul. If they were to be told to give everything what they possess, they are ready to do so. So in this beloved Jamaat of Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has set these examples, not only in the lifetime of Promised Messiah, but even today such examples are seen. And they are certainly the fruit of the prayers of Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, which he did for the sake of his community. Whenever there is an appeal, financial appeal being made, these beloved of Promised Messiah always answered that appeal. In this connection, today I am also want to remind you to some financial need to the people of Norway. There is such an appeal which has great spiritual reward, and you can be doubly be beneficiary of paradise. Firstly, by doing financial sacrifice, and secondly, by also sacrificing that special purpose of which the messenger of the Holy Allah has said that a man had built a house in paradise, because he said whosoever builds a mosque, he builds a house in paradise for himself. Few years ago, Jamaat Ahmadiyya Norway had got the permission of Khalifatul Masih the Fourth, perhaps at his appeal, I'm not quite sure, had promised to build a mosque. But unfortunately, they could not fulfill their promise. Everyone tried to blame the others. In any way, this is a longish story, apart from a basement which I've seen from a distance, and it is also not in a very good condition. They could build nothing. There is no doubt that the members of the Jamaat have done great financial sacrifices. But perhaps they have made a plan beyond their capacity, perhaps that's why they haven't fulfilled. But once an Ahmadi does a promise, and does makes a make a promise by putting his trust in Allah, he does his own effort to fulfill it. With all its capacities, he tries to fulfill that promise. Perhaps you have not paid full attention to it, or perhaps you have not been reminded properly about it. You did not realize that if you did not build this mosque, not only you have not fulfilled your promise, you are also suffering materially, because whatever the plot was bought and whatever has been built so far, a lot of money has been spent on it, but it is not usable. Therefore, all this investment is being wasted. Secondly, Council have also raised this question many times, and other organizations who do not want the Jamaat to build a mosque, they want to use this space for something else, and they continue to raise their voice against it in the newspapers or otherwise. And whatever you have spent on it is so much that even if you were to sell it in the present state, you will not recoup it. There is a phrase that now you can't escape either way, and that's what's happening. But I am sure that and the 100-year history of the Jamaat bears a testimony that the members of Jamaat, whenever under a plan with a great resolve they have started any task, then with the grace of Allah they have always concluded it successfully. Now you should try with this sure promise and resolve, this mosque can be built. I have seen in the face of most of you, among the men, women and children, I have seen the passion of love and sincerity, and I do not think that there is you lack anything in your sincerity and your faithfulness and devotion. There are some personal weaknesses which you must remove. You should learn how to cooperate with each other. you should have a firm resolve, then Allah will help you far more than previously. And according to His promises, He will provide your means and your sustenance and means to fulfill your promise from such areas and ways that you cannot even imagine. Those who are weak, you should take them with you as you move and tell them what are the benefits of building the house of Allah. Those who are doing financial sacrifices, they should do more sacrifices, begging help from Allah by reviving and revising their promises. You should launch a new appeal, and rather than blaming each other for it, you should try to do your duty. Today, when mosques are being built everywhere and Jamaat has paid special attention to this task, today when the enemy, wherever it can, try to harm our mosques and to seal them, in such countries where there is peace, where your financial situation is much better than previously, where there is a need to take the message of God to everyone, where you need to take the message of Allah and spread the light of Islam, if after having better means of income, if you had not built this mosque, is house of Allah, and did not build the shining minaret, it will be ungratefulness. Remember, this is your last opportunity. Even if after receiving permission this time you will not be able to build, you will lose your land, the plot of land, and whatever you have spent on it, that will also go to waste, and the Jamaat's honor will also be harmed. So today, uniting, you should build this house where you will be illuminating the honor of Jamaat, and at the same time you will be winning Allah's pleasure and building your home in paradise. And remember, for every great work you have to give great sacrifices. With prayer you should you prepare for this sacrifice, then Allah will also help you. Remember, if you lost this opportunity, then if not today, then tomorrow, there will not be one mosque in this country. Jamaat Ahmadiyya will have many mosques, but the next generations of Ahmadiyya will remember you when they pass through this, that this is the place where Jamaat had the opportunity to build a mosque, but the people at that time did not do their responsibility, and they lost this land. May Allah not destine that a day should come that the history should remember you in these terms. May Allah so destine that you should always be counted among those people about whom Hazrat Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has said that they are heartily devoted. You should always show the examples of deep devotion. So the young men should turn to it, the old should turn, pay attention to it, the women should pay attention to it, and children should also pursue their parents that let's build this mosque as soon as we can. About your sincerity and about your devotion, I have already said, I have no doubt in that. All you do is to pay attention. Last year when I had appealed for wasiyat, there were only in 2 days there are 191 here rather than there were 67 then. So the total number are 500 who give contributions, and maybe you will increase this number. So this is a proof that you are not lagging behind in sacrifices. You are not lagging behind in sincerity and devotion. As I said, all you need to do is pay attention. If you will put your heads together and be united in this effort, it will be blessed. May Allah so destine. Each one of you should rise from here with this resolve, with this promise, no matter what come what may, we will have to build this house of Allah. May Allah enable you to do so. Ameen.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.